watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome into the second hour on this Friday, February 28th, last day of February 2025 edition, Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us every Friday from 10 to 11 is our history lesson with the professor, Pastor Chatfield, is on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I think I'm all set up here with my headphone. I hope it sounds okay.
You sound great. Wonderful. Hey, I wanted to have you talk about this. I've been meaning to ask you about it. As we're getting closer and closer, evidently it appears that Donald Trump is strong-arming both Vladimir Putin of Russia. President Zelensky is coming to Washington, D.C. to have a sit-down with the president from the Ukraine. What is the history? What is the truth about the land? Let's talk about the landmass, Russia, Ukraine, surrounding territories, certain bodies of water. Usually that's what defines a country, is a waterway dividing. For some reasons, that's what they've used in the past. Explain the history between this situation going on in Russia, Ukraine.
Okay, I've tried to look this up, Randy. This is a long, long history. The Crimea region of Russia, Ukraine, there's a section of eastern Ukraine that is pro-Russia. It is majority Russian ethnic people, and then the south and the west is not. It's a long history, and I didn't even know how exactly to address this. Just take my word for it. The history professor, this is a long history. It is just not accurate to say Zelensky good, Putin bad. It's just not. Now, I'm no fan of Putin.
Sure.
But it's a long history. Okay. How can I started researching this and started saying, okay, how can I explain this? Let me just say this. There are so many throughout Europe, throughout the entire world, disputes about separatist movements throughout Europe, from Ireland to Spain, the Basque separatist movement, the Irish Republican Army, everywhere, Scotland, Wales, England, and their conflicts, and are they the same? It is all over Europe, has been, always is. Hey, we had our own sectional dispute. It was called a civil war, where the Southerners basically said that the tyrannical United States would not recognize the South's legitimate aspirations to have an independent country. And therefore, they called our civil war the War of Northern Aggression. The only reason it's the word civil war is endured is because they lost. They didn't win. Sorry. That's just the way things work. Now, we've talked about the Civil War many, many times.
Sure.
Russia views this as a civil war. That's what they view it as. And there's a long, long, long history. Some of them would say that the Ukraine is just a part of Russia. And that's what Putin believes. I've got an article in front of me along with, I don't know how much of I should, I don't like to just sit here and read an article to you. But when you're like me on this subject, pretty ignorant. I mean, I know more than about 95% of the people that put stuff on Facebook and don't understand one word they're saying, but I'm no expert on this.
Sure. Sure. Excellent. You know what? We'll pick it up right there because I'm no expert either. I didn't know anything about this until the war started. So, short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Is from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Scott Hawley came to our home and explained all the benefits of investing in a safe step walk-in tub and shower. After hearing all the options and features, all while using fresh, chemical-free water every night, made our decision a no-brainer. Call or text Scott at 231-534-0755 to schedule a free home visit. Mention Trucker Randy and get a $500 discount. Again, call or text Scott at 231-534-0755.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. What is the real history, if you can possibly put your head around this, trying to educate us on the Ukraine-Russian war situation? Go ahead, Pastor Chatfield.
Okay, so The big question is the Ukraine a part of Russia, just kind of like a section of Russia, or is it an independent country?
Sure.
That's the question now.
Has it ever been truly recognized, for example, a member of NATO? Has it been ever a recognized country with a established government and constitution, a functioning government at the national federal level? Has it ever been even recognized as a country?
Yes, after the yes.
Okay.
After the fall of the Soviet Union, it became a recognized country. We signed some sort of treaty with them, never ratified by the Senate. I mean, there's all sorts of things going on here, but this goes way back, long before the Soviet Union formed, and, you know, the Russian Revolution in 1917. I've got an article in front of me. This is from a Ukrainian, this leans Ukrainian, guy named Bjorn Alexander Dubin. He has a PhD degree, taught at King's College in London, had graduate degrees from Oxford and Cambridge. Woo! I mean, that's like the Harvard and Yale
right.
of us. I mean, he's yep. such a very well-educated person, and he's saying, and in my view, he's trying to give kind of a perspective of what's going on here. This was written in 2020, so it's a little bit old, but it's the same conflict. There was a guy that was an ideologue that used to work for Putin. His name is Vladislav Surkov. Was a counselor for him. And here's what he said. He said, "Ukraine is not even a state. What is Ukraine? A part of its territory is in Eastern Europe, and another part, a considerable one, was a gift from us." He said that in 2014. Putin declared in the same time, 2014, that the Russians and the Ukrainians are one people. Kiev is the mother of Russian cities. Ancient roots is our common source, and we cannot live without each other. We're just one. It's a part of Russia. And then there's a long history here. In 2017, President Trump said that Ukraine wasn't even a real country. It has always been a part of Russia. Now, that's not completely true, but there is a lot of history here. I'm going to read part of this because I don't just and part of it, I'm going to get you into the weeds because into the tall grass because there's a lot of tall grass here. Okay. Aside from its cultural proximity, Ukraine's sentimental and spiritual appeal to many Russians derives from the fact that the Kievan roots, a medieval state that came into existence in the 9th century and was centered around present-day Kiev, is regarded as a joint ancestral home that laid the foundations for both modern Russia and Ukraine. But from the time of its foundation to its conquest by the Mongols in the 13th century, the roots was an increasingly fragmented federation of principalities. Its southwest territories, including Kiev, were conquered by Poland and Lithuania in the early 14th century. Let me just stop here. And if you know much about European history, I know little, but I'm no expert at all. I don't have time. But there was a time when there was a Lithuanian-Polish alliance that dominated parts of Russia. And the Poles were not always what we kind of viewed since in the 20th century, kind of a weak sister type of country. They were dominant. And let me just back up a little bit about Poland. I know some Polish people, and they were giving me arguments about how bad Russia was. Well, there's just a lot of history here. When in September 1st, 1939, when Hitler invaded Poland and started World War II, ostensibly his propaganda said is that there was a lot of discrimination against the German-speaking people that were living in Poland. Now, just so you know, does that justify World War II? Of course not. However, I happen to know somebody who says that's what happened to my parents. And my grandparents, they were living in Poland, and they were persecuted by the Polish. They were German speakers. And so, yes, there was some of that, Was it widespread? No, I don't think so. But I'm telling you, is things are are complicated around the world. That sounds like I'm some sort of apologist for Adolf Hitler, which I am not. Absolutely not. Evil, terrible person. But that said, there are lots of things in world history. They're just listen. I've told you this before. Who writes the history books?
People, the winners.
The winners write the history books.
Yep.
And that
that's
is
why
the way,
that's why we call it the Civil War.
Yes, it is why. I mean, it wasn't the war between the states. It wasn't the war of Northern aggression. But from the South's perspective, we were on the North, the Union, was unwilling to recognize that they were a separate and free people. They viewed it, the South did, as a second war for independence. They viewed it as another Declaration of Independence. That's what they viewed it as. Now, I don't. Slavery was an evil institution, and ultimately that was the reason for the war. Whether all the Southerners understood it or not, most of them did, or a lot of them did. It was about slavery. It wasn't about Northern aggression. It was about preserving the Union and freeing the slaves. And in the end, by the end of the war, freeing the slaves after the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, there are a lot of modern Southern historians, or I call revisionists, they're trying to say, oh, no, it wasn't really about slavery. That's ridiculous. It was about slavery. Okay. But we won the war. The Union, the North, won the war, and so that is what it's about. Now, listen to this. This is from this article again. For roughly 400 years, these territories encompassed most of present-day Ukraine, were formerly ruled by Poland, Lithuania, which left a deep cultural imprint on them. During these four centuries, the Orthodox East Slavic population of these lands gradually developed an identity distinct from that of the East Slavs remaining in the territories under Mongol and later Muscovite rules. In other words, they were under Moscow. Before that, they were under the Mongols. The Slavic people that lived in Ukraine and in Russia have a common ancestry, but over the centuries, they started to part a little bit because the Western ones were under the domination of Poland and Lithuania. The Eastern ones were under the domination of the Mongol Empire. And then when Moscow, when the Russian czars began to get their strength, they started to dominate them. But then they always viewed the Ukraine as a part of Russia. That's what they viewed. But not everybody in the Ukraine viewed themselves as a part of Russia. They viewed themselves now, over the centuries, as Ukrainians. A distinct Ukrainian language had already begun to emerge in the dying days of the Kievan Rus, even though Putin says it didn't. Okay. Putin says, the first linguistic differences between Ukrainians and Russians appear only around the 16th century. Okay. So Randy asked Rusty, hey, is that true? My response, I don't know. I'm just reading an article. I'm just reading an article here. And from a Ukrainian leaning, this guy is favoring the Ukrainians, not the Russians. But he at least acknowledges this is a long, complicated affair here. This isn't like, you know, England invading France or something. The distinction between England and France goes back to 1066, the Battle of Hastings, the Norman conquest, which was, by the way, the French invasion of England in 1066. But that's been long changed, obviously. You got the UK separate from France. Okay, but these type of things have gone on forever. Following the incorporation of present-day Ukraine into Poland-Lithuania, the Ukrainian language evolved in relative isolation from the Russian language. At the same time, religious divisions developed within the Eastern Orthodoxy. From the mid-1500s to late 17th century, the Orthodox churches in Moscow and in Kiev developed as separate entities, initiating a division that eventually resurfaced in later schisms. I mean, just in church history, you have the Roman Catholic Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, and the Greek Orthodox Church. You say, well, explain to me all the differences. I know some of them. Because I'm a pastor, I have to have some awareness of these things. But there's lots of cultural, religious differences that started to evolve. But I will give the Russians this. The Russians have always thought that the Ukraine was a part of Russia. And even just common day Russians. The best I can discern is to be that, and this is true, most Russians do believe that the Ukraine is a part of Russia historically. It doesn't mean they're in favor of the war, but they do believe what Putin has said. Now, there's so much more history. There's the period of there was some. You ever heard of the Cossacks? The Cossacks.
Never.
These are okay. Most of these are have a cultural affinity to Muscovite Russia from Moscow, but had no particular desire to be part of the Muscovite state. In the 16th through the 18th century, the Cossacks of present-day Ukraine began to form their own. There's Latin de facto settlers. I don't know Latin. And they wanted to form their own state. They staged major uprisings against the Polish overlords. And then they looked to Russia for help. But they didn't want to become part of Russia, and they didn't want to be part of Poland and Lithuania. They started to develop within the Ukraine this identity, we're Ukrainians. But it wasn't total. People in the northeast of Ukraine, majority of them were ethnically Russian and favored Russia. Now, the majority of the people in Ukraine view themselves as Ukrainian. And when Putin invaded Russia, the Ukraine, they says, hey, you're challenging our national identity. Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. Was he? But he viewed them as an ancient, from centuries earlier. No, this is a part of Russia. We are one in the same. And so you have all this history. Let me give you a summary here. Let me give you a summary. The front lines of the frozen conflict between the Ukrainian forces and Russian-backed separatists are crisscrossing the plains of the Donetsk Basin, but they're also running right through the region's past. Russia's incursions into Ukraine have enjoyed tremendous support at home and in some quarters abroad. Many have been slow to denounce them or quick to embrace them out of a conviction that the Kremlin has history on its side. That Ukraine has never been a real country in its own right, and that its southern, eastern territories in particular are primordial Russian lands. Russia's political top brass, including Vladimir Putin himself, appears to subscribe to this belief as well, and by all appearances has directly informed their policy toward the Ukraine. But as much as these assumptions may resonate with ordinary Russians, as well as some foreign leaders, a glance into Ukrainian history reveals that they are based on a dangerously distorted reading of the past. Ultimately, by redrawing borders and rewriting history, the Kremlin is unlikely to have done itself a favor. Through its intervention in Ukraine, it has galvanized most Ukrainians in their aversion to Russia and has thereby done a great deal to demarcate the perceived differences between Ukrainians and Russians more clearly than ever before. I think that resonates as true to me. But understand this, there are divisions. And this is so true in Europe. We don't get it in the United States. And I'm just learning this myself. In Europe, you have people living in Poland who speak German and people living in Germany who speak Polish.
Sure.
You had Jews who were scattered all throughout Europe. Most of them were murdered during the Holocaust. But nevertheless, Europe is different than the United States.
Absolutely. Divided, even within what languages they speak. Interesting. On the Hour Newsbreak, I'm Trucker Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Chatfield. We're your defending fathers. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award-winning news team.